In Amharic, they are referred to as Dorie, the one who is untamed and belongs to the wilderness. In Luganda, a Ugandan dialect, they are referred to as still the untamed. Welcome to the Craze Podcast, and I'm your host, Issa Sava, together with Isaac.
Like, you need
keep
to
quiet. Keep quiet.
So you know, you said the Ugandan dialect, but you didn't say which Ugandan dialect. You said
Luganda. I mentioned
you did.
Yeah. Remember, I'm a linguist, so things be flowing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for listening to the Craze Podcast. Thank you for everyone who follows us on our social media platforms. We are available on all social media platforms: Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Plus our personal WhatsApps. Our numbers are running. Oh no.
Running where? I'm not about to put my number anywhere. No.
Oh, that is how celebs start. Anyways, in today's episode, we are looking at the tales and stories.
The life of a street child.
Yes.
Or a child who's homeless and ends up on the street.
Well, this is what we have for you. Isaac, what do you know about street children?
Nothing at all. Anyway, we are the Craze Podcast, and we always come with informed opinions and views. So let's begin perhaps with
let's begin with East Africa, because
you tell me to start and then
no fine. Before you begin, I wanted us a highlight.
Okay.
A highlight. Now one might wonder, when was this whole street children thing first noticeable?
Mm-hmm.
In East Africa, they are first noticed in
I think what is that mean for context, Alan,
yeah
is go. When it became an issue.
Yes.
The first time it became an issue for in the region.
Because, I mean, people who are homeless have always been there. So we are saying, since... What were you saying again?
Like when it became an issue.
Yes. The first noticed in Kenya, Nairobi, and it was estimated that about 3,600 street children were living on Nairobi
that
streets.
That was then.
Yeah, around 1969. For Uganda's case now, we are looking at...
2,600. What did you say?
No, that one is 1969.
Mm-hmm. For Uganda's case?
For Nairobi. For Uganda's case, I'm looking at 1972, just after the economic war. Mm-hmm. This is the Idi Amin era. And they estimated about 15,000 people on the streets, children on the streets. And a number of factors.
That's like, throughout Uganda.
Throughout Uganda.
But currently, just in Kampala alone, they are estimated to be 2,600. Just Kampala alone, 2,600. And they range between the age of 7 and 17 years.
Mm.
And of course, they are a mix of both girls and boys. And they live in a very deplorable state, by the way. So
maybe before we get there, we need to understand what really makes a child wake up one morning and decides to leave their home. Because personally,
you will never leave home.
Issa is the kind
love my home. Who loves his home. I really. Whoever is going to get married to Issa, oh my.
Are we there yet?
No, like, I really hope you're ready to make visits to Issa's home. Like,
on a serious note, we are discussing.
On a serious note.
And a number of factors.
The number of factors, of course. One of them is instability in the home, and instability in the home could be caused by domestic violence. Instability in the home could be caused by actually war, like when there's instability, the entire
everything goes south.
Everything goes south. Some of these children are unfortunately orphaned, and so they lose both parents. And once they lose both parents, they are in a situation where they can't stay anywhere. None of their relatives can take them on. All the relatives that take them on, there's also poverty. So there are a number of reasons. We may not be able to delve deeply into all those reasons, but
we are basically non-social workers. So
I do not want to associate myself.
But because we want this information out there.
Because we want this information out there.
Let's try.
So those are the reasons. What? You're the one directing today's
episode. Because I have children affairs at heart. You know how I'm.
Yet you're not a social worker.
I am. Actually, if I've studied all the laws regulating children or about children.
Who are you today?
Today.
But okay, you are typical Uganda.
Isaac, tell us about the life of a typical street child or children.
As anyone would imagine, it's a very deplorable state to live in. Because you're living on the streets, you're living on verandas of shops or corridors, abandoned corridors.
No bread and butter.
community. I actually don't know why you're trying to make this humor. No, you're not trying. Why you're doing so anyway?
Facts. Okay.
It's sad. So please try to make sad comments anyway. So it's a very bad state to live in, and you find that some of this research has shown that very many of these children sometimes live like one room, and they live 200 at a time in that one room. So you find that they live 200 children in one room at a time with no amenities or situations like that. Then those who live on streets, they don't live there for free as well. It is a street, but you can imagine they have to pay for it. For instance, they sometimes have to pay the security guards who are on these streets. Security guards who are maybe safeguarding a particular, say, mall or corridor, and they sometimes pay 500 shillings. Like, for instance, they're living in that temporary structure, the room I've told you about. Each of them pays 500
shillings. Because nothing is free in the city, apparently.
Yeah, nothing is free. So, or sometimes they, if it is a room that is maybe a bit better than the one where they're like 200 at a time, a room could go for 4,000 shillings a night. 4,000 Ugandan shillings a night. I think I need to specify that. So it's tricky, and sometimes this security, it's more tricky for the girls, because sometimes the security guards require them to engage in sexual situations with them to let them sleep wherever it is.
Maybe at that very point, some people are saying that, okay, there's a way a street child who's a girl and a male street child, there's a way they grow. For a girl, they're a bit sympathized with, and they tend to get small gifts from people. Then on top of that, if their gifts are not there and they need money, or they resort to sex, and through sex, pregnancy. Remember now, they might have sex with an anonymous, and then they don't know where to go with a baby. So it is like a roller coaster. This street girl will have a baby, the baby will go up on the street. So it's something like that. It is a cycle. Then for the boys, a boy will grow up. You know how boys are. You crack deals here and there. If you're not a gangster or something like that.
So boys, that's like really that. How they toil. Plus also, it's they are constantly harassed by authorities and whatnot. So it becomes a bit impossible for them to. They're not really safe. For instance, they sometimes have to sleep in shifts and things like that. So it's a very sad situation for a child who lives on the street, because, like we've already highlighted, it's
really tough.
It's tough, to say the least. And so what do you think the government should do? Since it's the government we always look to first.
Well, I have really not felt the role of social workers. Really, I've read about them and how they should be. I think you're aware of how these social workers are during maybe adoption.
What social workers? Like the way you say social workers, it's like they are there's a particular group of people, like police.
No, okay, they are called maybe to set the record straight. There's they're called social welfare social welfare officers, but I tend to call them social workers generally, because
you hate them. Okay.
Because it could be a number of very many people, unlike the social welfare officers that are provided for under the law, but it could be other people, because many people have to play various roles apart from such roles that are codified in the law.
I think they need to
I've not really felt what they do, both maybe village level, municipality, parish level, and all that, because even a mere kid, if a kid loses his way home, I mean, they are lost and found kids, you take them, you
they're
find them
found, so they're just lost kids.
Yeah, yes, okay, they're soon to be lost and found.
Soon to be found.
Yes, soon to be found. You take them to police, at least that is one thing that you should always do. You take them to police, and then police will tell you, thank you for being such a good citizen, but we have nothing to offer him here. Kindly take them home. Once anyone reports, we shall call you. Leave your contacts, your details, and everything. Also, remember LC1s and the local council play a valuable role.
should play,
they have to play because it is also under the law. What they do when it comes to children matters and everything, they have what we call a secretary for children affairs. But even when you get to her, they're usually ladies, at least where I come from, she's a lady. She'll tell you, she's a lady.
So I'm here to notice. Oh, anyway, go on.
She's a lady. Oh, it is a lady. Yes, it is a lady. But oh, the same reply, thank you for being a good citizen. Kindly take care of this.
I think they're kind enough to say thank you. But on a personal level, I think there needs to be targeted policies. And those, by targeted policies, I mean a deliberate structure.
So you mentioned you're telling me how about which year 2004 I think when they we had a debrief meeting. You're forgetting that.
By no, you way, said earlier on, so it could be any time. It could have been.
We always have meetings before.
Just they don't want to hear that.
Okay, so you told me that they had which home are they taken to? I'm forgetting the home once they are rallied up off the streets where they usually taken.
The remand home.
Yeah. You mentioned.
You mean the accompanying the remand home, which in 2004 was cordoned. They cordoned a section of it specifically for street children. So the solicitor general's direction that was done, but doesn't seem to be working. I don't know whether it's still the case though.
No, that was temporary for that particular program that was running, because recently they did a rally up or they chased them. It was a lot
they of still an... do. Authorities always are rallying them up, like I had already said.
But I don't, like you said, the police is still, I think, not there because they don't even, they just, you know how you chase birds and then birds go in hiding and then the next day they will come back. So that is what is happening. However, one of the things that I found really strange, and I think I'll pose a question to you. Do you give money to these street children? Apparently, authorities are saying they will fine anyone who gives them money.
I don't even think we should be talking about that because I find it very ridiculous. I find it very ridiculous. A policy. It seems to be a policy. I find it very, very, very
ridiculous. It was a directive. Like anyone called giving these kids money will pay a fine.
So the extent of that line of thinking is that let's make their lives more deplorable on the street so that they get a street. That is already deplorable. These are people already who are destitute. So what you're saying, let's torture them, let's make their lives more difficult so that they realize, oh, this is not, I mean, if you can live on the street, let me tell you, a night on the streets and you could nearly be raped, you could be mugged, you could contract all sorts of diseases because of the cold and all that, but you still continue to live on the streets. You really think a policy where they are punishing people who give you money is going to take you off the streets? I don't think so.
That was their reasoning, and actually people were like,
I don't even, okay, I'm sorry to say this, religious, but and what? I don't even think it is a reasoning. It's not a reasoning. Anyway, moving on, I think, like I was saying, I think there need to be targeted procedures of how children who are homeless or on the streets are dealt with. A particular, maybe, authority needs to be put in charge. And there needs to be a clear guideline with money attached to it of, once someone is homeless, a child specifically, this is a person who will be involved, this is the office that is involved, that very office should be able to take care of the child's food, clothing, education, shelter, and everything related to anyone who needs to live the bare minimum of life to make
exactly,
it through.
At exactly that point, whereas people want to help these children, you'll find that, because among the factors that has led these kids onto the streets, they mention the kids that are rebellious. So much as someone is willing to help them, actually some people have taken them into their homes and before you know it, they've stolen from them. they are rebellious kids that really want the streets.
But you know, the thing, that's a different topic altogether. Why a child is rebellious, which we may handle in our next topic. Why a child is rebellious is different thing. Maybe they are bringing. Maybe they're just rebellious because maybe of their age.
Or maybe their circumstances.
Yes. So there are different reasons why a child becomes rebellious. It's not because of their status of being. It could be. But I don't think the solution then is that, or it's like condemning them that because they're street children who are rebellious, therefore those ones should not. Maybe that's because them being rebellious is not really there. I don't think it plays so much into them being on the street. Mm. There are other reasons. Because, I mean, there are very many of us who are or were rebellious, but we didn't end up on the streets. Mm. Or somehow.
It's like, you're much of a coward. You can't even run.
Because I said some of us, I didn't say me. So, it's them being rebellious is something that can be handled. And I think that's one of the things that need to be handled. Not just clothing and feeding and sheltering the child, but also their upbringing. What kind of person are they going to grow into? Their education and things like that. Their welfare. Their welfare encompasses all those things. But they're not going to become a better person if they stay on the street. If they spend, because the average time a child spends on the street is 5 years.
Mm.
And after those 5 years elapse, they either end up, or during those 5 years, they either end up dead or in prison, or some get lucky and get into a situation where they are
now shattered. Is it because while on the streets they can work and get some money, and maybe perhaps that
I don't understand your question.
No, I'm just wondering, because why some they might keep on the streets is because they get to work and get money.
I mean,
okay, the money might not be as substantial.
Okay,
as
let's think through this. These children are between the age of 7 to 17.
Mm.
What kind of work are they going to do that's going to give them a substantial amount of money? The main reason they stay on the streets is because they have nowhere else to go. And this is what they've come to know as home. And studies have shown that these children tend to create sort of a community for themselves. Maybe children who come from a particular region or who speak the same language will
but
sort
exactly
of stay.
Maybe to cut you short, I'm sorry to cut you short.
You've been doing that the entire show, so you're sorry right now.
A bit
too late.
I'm having a lot of trouble understanding why, especially now, why we have kids of a particular region. The streets. I'm not saying that they aren't other people from different regions, but now the influx is from a particular region.
I don't know.
That is in Karamoja, because I understand one of the factors could be instability, which is just recent.
Poverty. I mean, the poverty statistics per region showed that particular region you're referring to faces the highest levels of poverty. And as we highlighted earlier, poverty is one of the reasons why we have homeless people or homeless children.
Well,
instability, like you said yourself, and because poverty also causes other things like domestic violence and whatnot, which
it is alleged.
Hmm? Alleged.
Hmm. Alleged or what? I'm not English.
You're a linguist. You're supposed to be the linguist.
I'm not supposed to say it the way they say it. Anyway. It is what?
Alleged.
It is said.
Mm-hmm. Stick to the simple word. It is said.
It is said that some people are sponsoring these kids on the street. Mm-hmm. From that particular region.
Mm-hmm. Sponsoring them on the street to do
because what? Someone is saying, people are saying that, I mean, these are so many kilometers from wherever they are coming
you
from.
You do know the platform, you know? Cyprus Podcast.
Yes.
Informed opinions. Not Roman.
No. No. Okay. Because, no. We are trying to compare and contrast.
Okay. Uh-huh. So they're saying
because these are the discussions that are out there, and they need
they
you
need to be clarified.
Who is informed to clarify?
Uh huh.
So I'm saying, mm-hmm. Someone is saying there's so many kilometers from wherever they come from.
So they are sponsored to come onto the.
So they are sponsored,
to do
and
what?
Actually they beg money for a particular group of people.
Yes,
and
that is
they're supposed to report.
Okay,
to
let me answer that. That is true. Those children do not come on their own from their homes to Kampala. They don't come on their own. They come with parents, an uncle, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you let me answer? So research has shown that they come with someone who is in authority. That person could either be their uncle, their mother.
But some of these uncles in reality are broke.
Yes, precisely because their uncles are broke. Precisely because whoever it is they've come with, a neighbor on the village who's also not doing very well, they're like, let's go to Kampala. They end up finding out that in Kampala this person doesn't have a place to stay. And when these people end up on the streets, they are put in charge of another quote-unquote authority who is called uncle as well. And this person exploits these children by providing them maybe with the one rooms I've been talking about, because now maybe listeners out there are wondering, where do these one rooms that we've been talking about come from? Who owns them?
But
these quote-unquote uncles own these rooms where they get that 500 shillings that I talked about per night from these kids, or 4,000 shillings per night, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these uncles are the ones, then they maybe in exchange for that money that they give them, they give them some food, a little bit of food, a little bit of clothing, but mostly it's for the benefit of the uncle. The uncle is the one who benefits the most. There's a book I read that highlights this kind of relationship.
That whole syndicate, yes, more or less a syndicate.
Yes, but yeah, syndicate. It wasn't really in Ugandan context, it was some other African country. I seem to forget that title. But yes, so that's the kind of relationship that happens. So it's not really, because I mean, how much can a street kid make in a day? What? 4,000, 5,000. And still, studies have shown, so these figures are not from my head. So 5,000 a day, and that is on a good day. So it's not sponsoring per se, that people deliberately intend, and it's like a trade-off, no. It's just a situation of someone sees this child, probably now orphaned, they're in the village, no one takes care of them, so they're like, oh, let me take them to Kampala.
That might be one angle.
The other angle.
But the other angle, still, you will consider that some people actually leave. You know?
They leave.
They leave their homes to come to Kampala. Just like that. And it is not about my uncle, what, some kids. Because we've seen kids of 3 years, 4 years, 7 years, like you put it.
Mm.
How do you even tell me that an uncle invited them here? So
that's what I said. Of they are brought by someone who is ideally supposed to be in charge of them, who's supposed to have responsibility over them.
Anyways, the tale of homelessness
will never end.
Because even in all these developed countries, only that for them it is a bit organized and everything, and
it's not so much
it's a kind of thing that we need here.
It's sad. I think we need to do better as a country, and as individuals,
because some of these things are not talked about as much, because people will say we have a lot of crime in the city, but these are the people. I'm not saying that they are, but a number of factors can lead them to develop into gangsters, because they're used to hard life and they have to struggle to survive. So I think if police and all stakeholders really looked at it to that most importance, then in a way the crime rates will reduce. These have been the 20 minutes or more, or so 23 minutes of the crazy
and podcast. We are not going beyond 23 minutes. Thank you for listening to us. Please tell our friends too about the podcast, and order yourself a podcast shirt, a Create Podcast branded t-shirt.
Yes, exactly. Thank you very much. Until next time,
I remain Isaac
and Issa Sam.